This is Health First with Kathy Hart, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Welcome back. Denise Green, author of Work-Life Brilliance. We've been learning how to retrain our brains so that we can live with brilliance instead of the blahs or burnout. So we were just talking about the getting rid of the toxic should-dos and breaking them down into one thing that we can really do. Was there anything you wanted to add to that?
You know, there is one more story that I'd like to just talk about that your brain tells you, and it's a doozy, and we all have this story. It sounds different depending on who you are, but we all have an I'm not good enough story. And you need to figure out what this story sounds like for you and then upgrade it. And I talk about upgrading any negative thought, but this is the meta thought that creates these should-dos in our lives. And I'll just give you, if it's okay, I'll give you one quick story about a client that had a whopper of an identity story that was really blocking her. We all have them, so it's one of the things I have to do with my clients early on to make our work as fruitful as it can be. But this particular leader, she had had a team in finance, and they worked in the Twin Towers, and on September 11th, she was too sick to go to work, so she didn't go, and her entire team died. And she developed a story that was, why not me? I shouldn't be here. I should be dead. And she felt such tremendous guilt. On top of her grief, she felt such tremendous guilt. And she was working with me on undoing this story because she knew it wasn't helping. She knew it was hurting her. It was killing her. And she, we just brainstormed. I don't get attached to stories. I just toss them out. And my job was to toss out stories until one landed. And you know you've upgraded a thought or you've upgraded your identity story when two things happen. You believe it and you feel a sense of relief. So I knew she was a devout Christian, and I tossed out this thought that was, I am a conduit for God's grace. And that's when she stopped me. And she took a deep breath and she let it out, and it met the two criterion. She instantly felt better, and she believed it. And the reason it worked for her was that it wasn't about her. It was about her being a channel. And it was about her having important work to do. So for her, it answered that question that is so hard to answer, why me? And it gave her a reason to go on an explanation. So none of this is logical, but we have to work at it until we have a story that is going to create different emotions that are going to prompt different actions that get us the results we want in life.
And on a regular basis, is there some daily routines that you put in your life as a reminder to keep that ego or that voice in us that tries to make us work harder or do better rather than just accepting that we are good enough and we have a role to fill in life?
So, Kathy, that is such a brilliant question, because a lot of people think, oh, well, I've got it. I've got this new habit. I don't have to do anything about it. Or I've got this goal or this intention. I'm going to diet. I'm excited about it. And then I don't have to do anything else about it. I'll just eat right. And if you don't have rituals and if you don't have reminders, your brain is going to pull you back to the dark side because it doesn't want you to change. So when I upgraded my own identity story, what I did was I repeated it. I don't know how many times a day, but I would set little things in place as things I did every day, and I would attach this reminder to that. So my particular identity story sounded like, I'll never live up to my potential, so why am I even bothering? Okay, that's a showstopper right there. Mm-hmm. So what I came up with the help of my coach, was the universe delights in me in this and every moment. Which kind of cracked me up, because I got to tell you, you know, not every moment in my life am I being graceful. But if the universe is delighting in me in that moment, well, then I can do no wrong. So it really worked for me, and I would repeat it when I would turn on a light switch, or when I would wash my hands, or when I would touch a doorknob. These were all cues for me to repeat it. So I don't care what habit you're trying to change, but you need to set up cues.
So we need to create some sort of mantra that we can say every, like, often throughout the day.
That's right. And the mantra has to be believable. You can't just have somebody else's mantra. So once you land on one that works, just brainstorm. What are things you do every day? You know, you stop at a stop sign, you brush your teeth, you wash your hands, and repeat it. Now, you won't have to do this forever. We just have to, if you think about neurons in the brain, uh-huh. Habits are neurons that have fired together over a long time, and they've grown from just single two cells connecting to like a bush with many, many branches. So rather than like a little stick, which is weak, it's not a habit,
uh-huh.
it's flourishing. So what we have to do is repeat the new thought, the new behavior enough times so that it flourishes and branches off while the other one withers. Old habits don't go away completely. We will always have those neural connections, sadly, but we can weaken them to the point where they're not the default anymore. And that's why if you do fall off the wagon and you go back, don't kick, you know, don't be upset with yourself. Just notice objectively what was going on. You know, the person, the smoker who doesn't smoke for 2 years and then all of a sudden has a cigarette, that's not a failure. That's normal.
Uh-huh.
But go back and remember just how strong that new neural network is. And if you find yourself telling yourself you're a failure, boom, you got to shift that thought right away. Say, nope, I am a non-smoker who just had a cigarette that one time, and now I'm going back.
That's great. Yeah. So to-do lists are important as well.
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
To-do lists? Do you make to-do lists every day to create your new patterns?
Yeah, I sort of make a to-do list. So the problem with most people's to-do lists is they have too many things on them, and usually they don't have the hardest thing that they need to do that day on them. So I want people to make a different kind of to-do list. I want you to make an intention list. I want you to have at most 3 priorities for the day, and then what are the absolute things you have to do under those projects, and then do the hardest thing first, and then you'll find you have so much more capacity. There's such a weight lifted off your shoulder that the other things happen much more easily, and if you don't get to them, it's not going to be that big of a deal. You can always pick it up tomorrow. But really be mindful. Are there shoulds on your to-do list, or is everything on your to-do list a must-do? And then finish the must-dos and forgive yourself if you don't do the nice-to-dos.
So start to be a little more gentle on yourself and find a way to use creative thought to do your work.
Be gentle on yourself. And I think the people in the world who are the cruelest to others are also the cruelest to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they are, you know, maybe they hate themselves so much that they can't even see that anymore, and they just mask it and, you know, fight against everybody else. But I try to find compassion for people who are cruel to others, because they tend to be people who had some kind of damaged relationship in childhood, and because they can't handle the thoughts they tell themselves about themselves, they push it outward to
right.
other people.
Hurt people hurt people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So in trying to create space for yourself to have a new way to live, how do you say no to the negative things or no to the old habits? Do you have ways that you can turn that around?
Yeah, I have a whole chapter on how to say no to things and people, but I love your question about how you say no to habits. The first thing you have to do when you're establishing a new goal that involves creating new habits is you have to answer the question, why? Now, I'm not a big fan of the question why, because usually we ask it in ways that's not productive, like, why me? Or, why did she get that and I didn't? But the one time you really want to ask why is, why am I doing this? So I'll give you an example. I had a client recently in a group program. And I always encourage my coaching clients to work on something professional and personal, because we're all the same person. So you might as well use the opportunity to get the most out of it. So this guy had high blood pressure. He was 50 years old, high blood pressure, diabetes, and he had 2 adopted sons under the age of 5.
Okay.
Yeah. He wanted to lose weight and eat healthier. his why. And I gave him time to think about this. I said, it's really got to be a good why for you. It's got to motivate you. You'll know it's a good why if you suddenly start doing things differently, because he'd tried this many times. And his original story was, well, because I should just eat better. I shouldn't be eating sugar all the time.
So there's that should?
Exactly. That wasn't working for him.
Yeah.
So his why was simply and profoundly, I want to be alive for my kids when they graduate high school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was worth it to him, because change is pain. Your brain does not want you to stop eating sugar and start eating vegetables. That's pain. And even though it makes sense, your brain doesn't want you to do that. So he had now outsmarted his brain, because he had said, no, I've got something bigger to fight for that's much bigger than the taste of sugar and my addiction to sugar, which, by the way, most of us are addicted to sugar just because of the way food's processed anymore. And he was really stuck until he came up with that why.
Yeah.
And then after that, man, he completely changed. He took all the advice he came up with. He was, back to your creative thinking, he became creative about how he went about shopping and filling his cupboards and exercising with his kids. And he made exercise now a form of play with bike riding and running around and playing with them. That didn't even feel like exercising. He did not join a gym. But in just the last 2 months of working together, he lowered his blood pressure, got off medicine, and had lost 8 pounds.
Wonderful.
Denise, there's so many great stories you could tell us, but we're running out of time. So could you tell us where we can find your new book, Work Life Brilliance? And is there any workbooks, or is it just a read book?
It's both.
Okay.
So there are definitely exercises in it. There are assessments in it. And you can find it on Amazon, Work Life Brilliance. And it's available in audio form in case you don't have time to actually read a print book. It's available in Kindle. And you can also find all of the tools that are in the book plus more on my website, which is brillianceinc.com, on the resources tab. I've got every tool that's in the book, plus I'm always adding new assessments. And of course, the tools are going to be bigger and easier to print out and prettier. So I highly recommend, it's great if you get them in the book, but like the work satisfaction assessment can be much easier if you just print it out from my website.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for writing the book, and we'll keep asking why.
Aw, thank you for the conversation, Kathy.
Okay.
I really appreciate it.
Super. Thanks so much.